What's going on, Auburn family? Welcome back again to the Jungle Show here on Auburn Daily. I am Gray Oldenburg, along with my co-host, my dad, Chris Oldenburg. We are here to talk about Auburn basketball, just like we are after every single game. And today, we are here to recap Auburn's big win, the first win of the year against Southeastern Louisiana. Had the tough loss against Baylor earlier in the week. And then they come back and get a Friday night win at home. A little tune-up game, struggled to shoot at the beginning. We'll talk about some of the stats and some of the opinions about the game here in just a little bit. But obviously, it's a huge win for the Tigers. Get that first win of the year. Get some confidence into these kids going into the Legends Classic, which we'll also talk about later next week. But this is a huge win. I know you're excited about it. One thing I want to mention before I throw the floor over to you, Dad, is this win is huge for one specific person in general. I mean, it's big for Auburn. It's big to get that one win, that first win in general. But Jalen Williams is now the all-time winningest basketball player at Auburn University. And that is huge. That is amazing. And I said it on the Uptempo podcast when I went live with Dustin Smith earlier. I was like, or on Saturday morning, I was like, look, that record is going to be hard to break because Jalen has beat it. And he's going to add, 20, 25 more to it this next year. And it's going to be – you're not going to be able to break it. So, obviously, very happy for Jalen. I know that he won't say that that means a lot to him because it's Jalen Williams. But it means a lot to him. It means a lot to his family. It means a lot for Auburn basketball to have the all-time winningest player in his program on his team right now.
The reason that will never be broken, that's one of those records that can never be broken, is if you're good enough to make a team really good, mm-hmm. the chances that you stay around as long as Jalen has stayed around are slim mm-hmm. and none.
That's very true.
He's the Swiss Army knife. He's the guy that we call the Swiss Army knife because he does a little bit of everything. And I know we'll get into it. He didn't have a very good game again, not a typical Jalen game, but to be the winningest basketball player in Auburn basketball history. And I know there's not a lot of basketball history to talk about, but you still have names like Chuck Person, Charles Barkley, Chris Porter. You got guys that are out there that have won a lot of basketball games. Had done a lot of good things in their pro careers. Mm-hmm. And Jalen can say he's won more than anybody.
Yeah. Yeah, that's awesome. Super happy for Jalen. So let's talk about this game. So Auburn does win this game 86-71. Auburn staying in the 80s. Scored 82 against Baylor, scored 86 in this one. So you just mentioned it when you were talking about Jalen this year. Jalen did not have the type of game that we were expecting. And we talked about this after the Baylor game. This is not the first two games I thought we were going to see from a guy like Jalen Williams. I thought we were going to see more of the all-time winningest basketball player coming in and setting the tone for this season. And to his credit, you know, he didn't really have to do that a lot in the Baylor game. I wish he would have come at the end and helped us take care of business in that one, maybe help us get the win. And he didn't really have to do a lot in this game. We had a lot of guys really step up. We talk about KD, talking about Jani Broome, talking about the way Aiden and Chad Baker-Mazzara all played. And we'll get to those guys in a second. But Jalen, I mean, you're doing this. We said it in the last podcast. You're doing this basically without Jalen. I know Jalen had 9 points. He had 3 rebounds. He's contributing. He's still one of the best players, if not the best player on this team. And as a college basketball player, I think that's arguable. I probably wouldn't bet on that one, but you could argue that easily. He's the all-time winningest basketball player here. Mm-hmm. But we haven't seen the Jalen that I thought we were going to see yet. But you have to feel like that's coming. You have to feel like a 25, 26 point game is coming for Jalen. And once he has that game, it's because he's done that every year. Once he has that game, then it's automatic. Then he's 15 a night, no question.
So Bruce Pearl is trying to force feed Jalen. He's trying to get him started at the beginning of each half. We went to him twice at the beginning of the game. The first time on a flex cut step in, which is kind of his specialty. He got it against a guy that was smaller than him, turned around for a drop step bank shot, and banged it off the rim. Next time down the floor, we had him set up for coming off a screen on the high post for a three-point shot. Short. Starting the second half, and then he got fouled and made one of two free throws a couple plays later. The second half, we ran the flex cut, drop, step in for him again, and he missed it. And I was thinking, God, I'm getting more from Chaney Johnson right now, in my opinion. Kid had 11 boards. He's not a real good shooter yet, but he had 11 boards. We've got to get something from Jalen. About midway through the second half, maybe a little bit past that point, Jalen stepped out for a three and hit it. And the next time down the floor, he stepped out for a three and hit it. And I thought, oh, thank God. Maybe he's seen the ball go in the basket now. Maybe against Notre Dame this week, he'll have the 15 and 10, the 12 and 6. I think on our last podcast, I said, I think Jalen needs to be 12 and 6 every game.
Yeah.
12.678 rebounds. He had a couple block shots, I think, in this game, too. He played well. He just can't make the shot until those two threes went in, and then he had another two-point basket later on.
Yeah, it just seems like we just got to get Jalen in a rhythm, and that comes with time. I would be worried if Jalen was a freshman and we had never seen him play, and he was a five-star freshman that came in. It was, you know, he's supposed to be this dude starting at the four and that sort of thing. He's not that. That we know what we're going to get from Jalen. We know that that's coming. So that's why seeing Auburn be successful when Jalen is still getting in his groove and still getting into the rhythm, that's a good thing. That's a good thing. And what they did against Baylor, what they were able to do against Southeastern Louisiana, I think that's a good thing. So let's talk about some of the other guys in this game.
And just to stick on that for just a second, it wasn't like he was the only one that couldn't make a shot. I think the rim on that end of the floor was bent or something because nobody was making shots. So I'm not blaming Jalen and saying, my gosh, he's the only guy not making a shot. Nobody could.
Yeah. It was a little bit of struggle. It just seemed like it was on that end too. But no, let's talk about some of the other guys in this game. Obviously, I think the MVP from this game is Jani Broom. Jani has looked fantastic. He's looked absolutely incredible. We talked about after the Baylor game, I don't know if we were talking about it on the podcast or if we were just talking about it, just us two going back and forth about the game. Jani was unbelievable, even from three. In the Baylor game, and then it seemed like he got hurt and it like messed up his shoulder a little bit. He re-aggravated that shoulder injury that he got in the AUM scrimmage early in that game, and didn't seem like himself the rest of the game. This game, it seemed like we got that Jani the entire game. I mean, he goes 7 of 12 from the field, 18 points, 11 rebounds, perfect from the three-point line, perfect from the free throw line.
One of one, yeah.
Jani Broom is now 75% from three on the year. let's let that sink in. He also had two blocks. He also had a steal. He was also using up his fouls. Look, Jani just ate this team for lunch. He really did.
The guy that they had guarding him looked like a blonde-headed tree. He was very big, but he was very big. and Jani was much quicker. I did notice at the beginning of the game when Jani went into the jump circle to jump for the jump ball at the beginning of the game, he first started to where his hurt shoulder was going to be the arm that he reaches up with.
Yeah.
And then he switched. And you could tell he was like, that's not going to be comfortable. So he went back and he jumped with his hurt shoulder. but you can tell he's thinking about it. But yeah, he came out and played. Look, he missed an easy open look on an inbounds play early in the game. Baseline out of bounds. We run Chad Baker-Mazar with the screen. He runs to the front of the rim. They lob it up. He tosses it at the rim, and it's short. I mean, everybody was missing shots. The only argument that I would have about player of the game is the guy who changed all of that.
Yeah.
And came in and got us going, and that's KD.
Yeah, I was going to say that. Talking about KD, he really was the reason Auburn wins this game. And I'm not saying his 13 points and three assists and two steals were the difference in Auburn winning and losing this game. I'm saying it was 6-4. No team could hit anything.
It was very
sluggish. It seemed like the energy was low, not just in the arena, but it was just low. And then KD came in. And everything changed. Everything changed. I want to talk about, you mentioned in the last podcast about a move that KD made in the Baylor game,
yep,
where he had an open look at three, but instead he created his own pull-up jumper, which we've seen the growth and maturity from KD freshman year at Georgia, sophomore year when he's here. Probably shoots that three, and that's probably a much harder shot because Jacoby Walter from Baylor was on it at the time.
Yeah.
Instead, KD pump fakes, makes a move, gets an open look at a pull-up jumper and knocks it down. That's growth and maturity. You know, it's even more growth and maturity is the move that KD made in this game where he had an open shot. Took two dribbles, got inside, and left it for Dylan Cardwell for a dunk, a massive, massive dunk. That's not only an energy play that we get from both KD and Dylan. You credit both of those guys on that play. But that's the smart play.
That was in the second half, yeah.
Yeah, we didn't see that from KD last year. If that's KD last year, he's trying to go up and get an absurd and one, which he already did in this game, the third play he was in.
Yeah, he did.
So
he shot that while falling horizontally down.
I think we're seeing a different KD Johnson and for the better, and him coming off the bench and Denver being in the starting lineup. Cause I know Denver, I know he had 8 points in this game. He had four assists. Didn't shoot well. Denver will shoot well.
Yeah.
Denver will shoot well. There will be a game. I don't know what game it's going to be. We won't know it until about halfway through the first half. Denver will go for 30 points.
Yeah, he'll light it up. Every time he shoots it, I think it's going in.
Yeah. Yeah. And I'm not trying to relate a guy to him because I do think they are similar in some ways and different in some ways, but he really reminds me of Bryce Brown. When he catches the ball, you just feel like he's going to score, mm-hmm, whether it's he's launching a three, whether he's going right by him, whether he's stopping and pulling up for a jumper, or he's getting to the free throw line. It just always feels like he's going to get points. Why is he not getting the ball? So having those two at that two position, I think it's really, really going to help out our point guards.
Yes.
Especially with Trey not having a great game today or against Southeast Louisiana and Aiden coming off the bench for right now. I think that's huge. Those two guards being so good. Cause you know, we talked every game last year, we looked back and we were like, okay, what was the production from the two guard? Zepp had 2 points. He had the first bucket of the game, and KD had six. But KD also had four turnovers. And Zepp didn't really do anything on offense. That's not what you're getting from the two guards this year. Denver is miles better on offense.
Absolutely. Oh, yeah. And
he's still a really good defender. I was telling you, I was like, Denver's a much better defender than I thought he was. He's a really, really good defender.
He's an aggressive defender.
He is. Yeah, absolutely. But KD taking that growth and taking that step. I mean, I know it's only been two games, and I know we could be the most overreacting people right now, but I think that's huge for the future of this team.
Yeah, he came down on a fast break in the first half, 2-on-1, and didn't pass it, and tried to lay it up, and got blocked out of bounds or whatever, and we didn't end up scoring. So I was at that point, I was frustrated with him because I want him to do exactly what you did, what you just spoke about. And he drove into the lane right in front of the Auburn bench from right in front of Bruce. He drove into that side of the lane. The Dylan's man came and got him. He underhand dropped it off to Dylan, and Dylan one hand dunked it. That is, if you're getting that from KD, plus you're getting the amount of points that he's given you. If you look at, I mean,
he buried KD, two threes,
13 points.
Yeah,
he probably made two threes. He had two boards, three assists. He only had one turnover and two steals. That I'll take that every time from KD. He's plus nine. He's plus nine. And Denver, you know, they combined for 21 points in that two guard position.
You never got that last year.
I don't know if we ever got 21 points out of the two guard position last year.
Yeah. Yeah. No, most definitely. So before we go in and talk about the superstar freshman point guard that we have, there's another guy I want to mention that I think is considerably better than I thought. And I, you know, I was like, look, Denver's going to be really good. Denver's going to be the really hot shooter that we have. I just hope he's not as streaky. He's a good defender. Denver's much better than I thought he was. I think Aiden's as good as advertised, and we'll get to him in a second. I think Chaney, I know Chaney didn't shoot the ball well. I think Chaney played really good. He had 7 offensive rebounds in this game. I think Chaney just needs to play some of these games. People forget that was his second ever game playing Division I basketball.
His
second ever game playing Division I basketball. Give him time. He's got the talent. He's got the potential. I think he's better. I think Chad Baker-Mazzara is better than any of them in terms of like the jump from what I thought he was going to be.
Chad Baker-Mazzara is a fantastic player. And when he comes on the court, he came on the court, and first thing he did was get a steal.
Mm-hmm.
He had 12 points, 6 rebounds, an assist, didn't turn the ball over, and had a steal. 12 and 6, that's what I'm thinking I'm going to get from Jalen Williams.
Yeah.
And I'm getting that from Chad Baker-Mazzara. I think he's a great addition to this team.
Yeah. I think the addition of Chad and the way he is playing – and the type of attitude that he brings to this team. He brings the Jedi Broom type of attitude. And I know he didn't shoot a three in the Baylor game. He buried one in this one. He was brought here to be a shooter.
It's not a pretty shot, but it goes
it's
in.
It's really not. He's got a good release. It's not a pretty form, I'll say.
Yeah.
But he's – look, and he's a fantastic free throw shooter too. I think that's huge. He's missed one free throw in his first two games. He went 5 of 6 against Southeastern Louisiana. But dude, we will take that.
I am pleasantly surprised at his rebounding.
Yeah,
I didn't think we'd get rebounding from him because he's long and skinny, and I just thought he'd get blown up by some guys, and he may. He gets into the SEC, those threes will be bigger and stronger. But he went against guys bigger and stronger at Baylor, and he still played well.
Yeah.
I love his energy. Sometimes he's kind of like KD, and sometimes he's going to give you a spastic shot. He threw one up on the board early in this game, and Dylan ended up tipping it in. They called goaltending and then reversed the call later because it wasn't goaltending.
Yeah.
But that was a spastic, just throw it up on the board type of shot. Other than that, his defense is really – we talked about this in the last show. Against Baylor, he had 2 straight steals. He comes into this game, the first thing he does is get a steal. And it's like he's just got a nose for the ball. He's played a lot of basketball in a lot of different places.
Yeah.
And he's got a nose for the ball. He's a smart basketball player.
Yeah. You said it as best as I could have. All right, so I don't think there is, you know, the only guy I can relate this to the recent future, at least, when this guy shoots it, you automatically think it's 3 points from the outside. Yep. It, like, you're more surprised and shocked when it doesn't go in when Aiden shoots. And it's because he's just a fantastic shooter. And the only guy I can relate that to in the most recent future is Jabari. Because every time Jabari shot it, I was like, that's good. That's 3 points. And then the only guy before then, I mean, to be honest, I mean, I didn't really feel that way about Bryce. I know Bryce was probably the best 3-point shooter. I felt that way a little bit about Jared, because Bryce was a little streakier than Jared was. But
what about KT Harrell?
Yeah. Yeah.
He's for sure. I mean, he's the guy that,
for
that,
sure,
like you say, he gets the ball and is starting to pull up from beyond the arc.
Yeah.
Like Aiden, I'm like, that's good. And I'm shocked when it doesn't go in.
Yeah.
I mean, he missed his first two or three the other night.
Because everybody was.
And everybody was. And yeah. I was like, what is wrong with our team? Mm-hmm. There's something wrong with that rim. Even the announcers were like, I think there's a glass on top of that, on top of that rim. Something wrong.
Yeah.
But then he made some where the net doesn't even move. He is really a good shooter.
Yeah, and he's going to develop, guys. He's going to develop and get better and get smarter and get stronger and better on the defensive end. And the moment that this all just, like, comes into fruition, he's got the talent. He's a wizard with the ball. We saw that against Baylor. We saw that in this game. Hey, look. He has a chance to be one of the best here in a long time.
My hope is that he stays
and plays with Tahad next year.
Plays with Tahad next year and also becomes a better defender. He's not a bad defender now. No. He's just not a college defender yet.
Yeah.
He's going to run into guys that. And yeah, he played big time high school basketball, but he's going to run into dudes that are adult grown men who can use speed and their body to get around him. Mm-hmm. And he's just got to keep his feet moving. He had one in the game the other night. He moved his feet and was in front of the guy, but at the last second he reached and got a foul. And it's just, it's little things like that that Bruce and those guys will work on. Like you said, the more he learns, the more he plays, the better he's going to get. And he's going to – my hope is that he stays.
Yeah, me too. Me too. Don't worry about that. All right, so just I'm just going to rattle off some team stats for Auburn before we – start wrapping this one up. Obviously, this is a little bit quicker episode. We'll talk a little bit about Notre Dame and the Legends Classic here in just a second. But rattling off some team stats, Auburn did shoot 85% from the free throw line in this game, much improved compared to the Baylor game and last year. Shot 34% from the three-point line, shot a lot of threes. It felt like we were watching 2019 Auburn basketball compared to the past few years.
Yeah.
Because that's what I think Bruce expects that. I think this team should shoot considerably more threes. You talk about trading Zepp for Denver. You'd much rather him shoot a lot of threes. You talk about trading Wendell for Aiden. You're going to get that. He's going to shoot eight to 10 threes. I want him to shoot 8 to 10 threes. Because you think all 8 to 10, he's going to make them. Absolutely.
Yeah.
So I think this team's going to shoot a lot better.
I think the only guy who doesn't have a green light is Dylan Carbwell. I think everybody else has a green light to shoot the three on that team.
I agree.
Obviously, including Jani Broom.
Well, he will shoot. He's leading the team in percentage right now.
Yeah, so. I think everybody has, hey, if you're open, I want you to shoot the basketball.
Yeah, one of the biggest stats, team stat wise, that I think really pointed out or really drew my eye, at least, was the bench points. And in comparison, Southeastern Louisiana had 9 bench points. Auburn had 46. So, KD, Aiden, Chad Baker-Mazzara, Chaney Johnson, and Dylan Carbwell all contributing to that bench points. All of them had really, really good games. I know Chaney went 2 of 11, But guys, don't freak out on Chaney, and also don't freak out on Trey Donaldson. These guys, I know Trey didn't play better than Aiden. He's not. It's going to be rare. It might not be good if Trey plays better than Aiden, by the way, because that probably means that Aiden did not play well. Yes, let's just break the ice with it a little bit. Okay, before we start talking about the Legends Classic, we got to start talking about these lineups. Look, Brute is the second game of the year. He's got a ton of new guys, and he's trying to mold that with what he's already got. He's the second game of the year. He is testing lineups and experimenting lineups. And Mike Burgermaster is doing it. Ira Bowman's out there doing it. Stephen Pearl's helping with it. Chad Pruitt's helping with it. They're all trying to mold these lineups, not only see who plays well together, but also worrying about matchups, also seeing, you know, what kind of chemistry they could build together. Obviously, I don't think the starting lineup is set at all throughout any point of the season.
We talked about it in the preseason about who's going to start.
Yeah.
And I said, I think Aiden, Trey starts until we get a few games in. But please, 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 I follow Auburn Twitter a lot. I like to be on there talking to folks on Auburn Twitter a lot. And sometimes during basketball season, it's obvious we're a football school. Folks, every basketball coach in the country right now is doing exactly the same thing, unless they've got everybody back from last year. If they've got everybody back from last year, then they know their lineups. If they don't, if they have an almost brand new team like Coach Pearl does right now, he's experimenting. He's trying to figure out who's going to play better with whom. And as long as he can win games with these lineups and experimenting with them, he's going to keep doing it until the SEC starts. Once the SEC starts, he probably goes down to 8 or 9, maybe 10 guys. I don't think Lior is going to get a lot of playing time once the SEC starts. But he's got 10 guys that can play. He's got to figure out who plays when. And it's not about starting. It's about finishing. If you want to know what the best lineups in his mind are, watch who finishes a tight game. That's the lineup he trusts.
Yeah. Yeah. And the finishing lineup in this Southeastern Louisiana game was Aiden, Denver, Baker Mazzara, Jalen, and Janai. I do feel like that is going to be
the lineup he trusts the most. Yes. I think it was the same way in the Baylor game.
Yeah. Yeah, it was. So. All right, but before we get out of here, I want to talk about what Auburn has next. Obviously, they will play on Thursday night at 8 p.m. Central Time in the Barclays Center in Brooklyn, New York, where the Brooklyn Nets play against Notre Dame. Notre Dame is struggling. A lot of people are saying that they are the worst Power 5 team in college basketball right now. They did lose by 10 the other day to Western Carolina at home. So Notre Dame is a team that's struggling, that probably needs a complete rebuild, redo over. I expect Auburn to come in and establish who they are, but also work on some things just like they wanted to do against Southeastern Louisiana, whether that's with lineups, whether that's with offense, defense, matchups, that sort of thing. But get to do that against a Power 5 school in a neutral site game.
In an NBA arena,
absolutely, yeah. With eyes on you and that sort of thing. So
yeah, New Jersey.
That's going to be good. And then after that, on the Friday, that next day on the 17th, next Friday, you will play. So if you beat Notre Dame, you'll play the winner of Oklahoma State or St. Bonaventure at 6 p.m. Central Time. Or if you lose to Notre Dame, please know, if you lose to Notre Dame, you will play the loser of Oklahoma State and St. Bonaventure at 3:30 Central Time in the Barclays Center. And both of those two teams are good. Both of those two teams are better than Notre Dame. Both of those two teams will be tournament teams come March. They always are. Always
usually are.
Yeah. You always see Oklahoma State there. You always see St. Bonaventure there.
They seem to get there.
So it'll be tough. It'll be tough. We will do one podcast episode after the Legends Classic, after both of those games, talking about both of those games, then previewing what Auburn has next in Alabama A&M that following Tuesday. But thank you all for listening. If you want to find either of us on Twitter, you can find us at Gray Oldenburg or at War Eagle Hoops. Thank you all for listening, and we hope to see you next time. War Eagle. War Eagle.